It's been a little bit. I have not felt like doing much of anything, let alone podcasting. I just have not. I haven't been going on live either. I was doing some lives and that on another platform, and I just haven't felt like doing that either. I'm trying to get into some kind of, it's just constant change. It gets to be exhausting. It's between just health stuff and then, you know, dealing with Eric and once again, you know, third time's a charm. Abandoning responsibilities in that screenshot here. Literally had hearings and video hearings online over the past week. And just everybody getting involved and people third party not involved and those at higher power be just looking at everything and seeing what has been going on is just, as they said, disturbing. It's disturbing, it's disgusting, and it's not okay, and it's not going to continue. I couldn't agree more. So, neglecting and responsibilities, financial responsibilities, you're an adult, your household responsibilities. You want kids, they're your responsibility. Pets, they're not a picture frame. For those that be, they're not objects, they're your responsibility. When I told Eric, listen, you get pets, it's 50% responsibility. That's the way it is, period, you know? Before you take it, pets, 50, oh, I know. And then just whenever you feel like it, it doesn't work that way in life, you know? It doesn't work that way. You can have somebody's parent or parents take care of your kid. Now, I don't have any human kids, so I'm not speaking for myself, but that don't fly. If I had human kids, it's 50-50, sorry. That's just the way it is. You have pets, it's 50-50. You know, no matter how you're responsible, if you can't take care of them, give their medicine on time, and blah, 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 then that responsibility gets taken away. Then you have another responsibility you can attend to. You know, if they're under veterinary care, a couple of mine that are. Medicine, things like that, necessities, and, you know, not doing it. It's not by the, you know, flying by seat of your pants. You know, when you get in your 40s, you're an old man age. You know, step it up to the plate, act like an adult. You're not a kid anymore. Folks, you're raising kids. Don't raise them to be spoiled rotten brats when they get older. Throwing tantrums and fits. I'm saying in general, don't raise your kids to be spoiled rotten brats. You know, just don't do it. Don't do it. You raise them to be responsible. And boys, you raise them to be respectful. They leave your roof, leave your house. You're not going to have problems with them later down the road. You have problems with them later down the road. The only person to blame is yourself. Sorry. Strong opinion. It's a fact. Not just me saying it. Many others. Just don't do it. So, you know, I had a routine down and then I got duped for the last time. And, I mean, throwing a hysterical fit. I mean, a fit like no other. Oh my God. My bank account bounced and the mortgage was taken out of my bank account. It literally, the mortgage is taken out of my disability account. Fact. A duplicate, you know, bank checking, you know, his is mine, mine, when you have the same bank. And then an error happens, you catch it right away, which I caught it. And then there's non-sufficient funds, so I have to pay the non-sufficient fund fee from your non-sufficient funds in your bank account. And I'm paying it. You're not even paying for your damn loan. Months, as they said. It's been months. Literally removed his bank account. There's no point of it, you know? And people have to step up to play. You know, no, sorry. Starts with the parent of parents. Raise your boys to be men. Don't raise your boys to leave the house to be boys. Nobody wants to continue raising your kids, especially if they're spoiled, rotten brats. They had no responsibility or anything growing up. You don't go attending and don't go bring a food, pop, whatever over to your son or son's house all the time. They get older, they have to thin and they have to do themselves. You know, they have to take care of themselves. Compared to being a man, not a baby, not a man child, not a baby. No, folks, do your job as a parent. Parents, if you can't do it, don't have kids. Don't have kids. They'll do it. No. Can't go tossing them off. They'll toss your boys. You leave the house and they're still boys because you're not raising them right. I'll go tossing them out there in the world. You know, end up problems. No. Mm-mm. And I'm not cleaning up the dirty for anybody. I'm not raising anybody's kids. Period. I have my fur kids. So I'm trying to, that's just a little bit. Liv Morgan, Live Morgan, WWE wrestler, which I don't watch wrestling. You know, I did that when I was, what, 20s? Maybe early 30s. I never really wasn't into it. Just knew somebody that was. Like I say, I don't know the wrestlers, and I realized, you know, and I actually laughed quite a few times about it, thinking it was somebody in the area. Sorry. That's the first time I laughed a long time. Actually, I was watching the live last night while I was cleaning. I was laughing, as this guy had the same sense of humor I did, and when he threw the popcorn in the microwave, literally was singing like 80s hits and stuff. It's just what he does. You know, everybody does their own thing to get through the holidays and stressful times, and he enjoys going on live and singing 80s songs. You do request 80s song, Whitesnake, 80s song Bon Jovi, and he has a really great voice and diversity too, and his forte was Cinderella and White Lion and Aerosmith. But anyway, it was so funny. It was the first time I left a long time. Left a lot throughout the live just to keep me occupied while I'm cleaning, because I'm exhausted, you know? I'm going through treatments and stuff, and I'm doing this. And I got, you know, somebody's son who didn't leave the house as a man and cleaning up responsibilities. And it's just not going to happen anymore. And there's consequences, let's just say. Period. You know? Screenshot here. Not a joke. Sorry. I don't say anything and no. I'll back it up. You know, can't handle things. If it didn't work the first time how you handle things, then you better, by my experience and wisdom, you better do a 360 and handle it a whole nother way, folks. It ain't going to work the first time when you handled it. Well, you're going to be handling it the next time the right way. So I got to say, get people involved. Allow people to step up to the plate and help you. Period. Not involved, not connected, not related, no, nada. Higher rank superiors, get them involved. Period. You know, let the process work for you. Sometimes it takes time. Allow it. You know, get duped. I got duped again. You get duped for last time. You know, you figure out why you get duped. Third time's a charm. You learn from it. Dust yourself off. Stand back up like I did, and you move forward. But it's tough. But going back to the guy who was on live, and he hadn't ate dinner yet, and he literally put popcorn in the microwave, and it reminded me of me, what I would do. Put popcorn for the deer I like to do. Especially, you know, now it's the season. They're all out, and animals, let's just face it, I have more faith in animals than I ever will in a human being my entire life. That's the truth. Amen. I have no faith in people. I'm sorry, I just don't. I'm not saying everybody. I have my small circle that I trust. Building trust in new people is going to be building a hell of a lot of trust, because I've been duped. I've been abandoned. I've been, I'm just going to leave it there, you know? Abandonment is like drinking water to me. I'm used to people just not being present, finding excuses. Oh, if you had kids, it'd be different. Speaking of having kids, it'd be different. Anybody hear about that lady, oldest woman to have twins, 71 years old? I don't know what country I saw it come across the line. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to judge because you don't know the backstory, until I scrolled down and I'm like, oh, imagine that. Do I blame her? No. Have I been there before? Yes. Where people will literally judge you, don't have nothing to do with you, don't include you, family treats you less of, you're nobody, blah, 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 if you don't have kids. Sorry, there's a lot of families, a lot of people out there like that. I've seen it because I personally dealt with it. Not by my choice not to have kids, but medically it was just impossible for me to carry a child. It would never happen. It's a spontaneous abort. That's the way it was. It's the way it is, you know? But I don't blame her. Said the reason that she decided to have kids go through IVF in her country is because she got tired of being judged. People would just, once they had kids, stop talking to her and leave her. And she felt the only way that she could really connect and be part of society in her area and village, wherever she's from, is having kids. So she went through IVF. And it wasn't the first time she did it. To be connected with her family and society and friends. And isn't that a damn shame? Those who have kids, and you judge people like me who don't have kids and think and treat us as less of a woman, a human being, a person. Here, I'm going to say, because I've always said it once, I wanted to say this forever. Shame on every damn person who's ever done that to me. Yeah, I'm finally speaking up. Shame on you. And shame on the people who would literally say, oh, so-and-so is having a kid or whatever, and be really great, you know, and would you like to adopt their kid? And then three women do this to me throughout my lifetime. Because they knew I had problems having kids. And when you do that stuff, if you're going to do that and come to someone and present that, be damn serious as a heart attack when you say it. Not just as a joke for sympathy to make me feel better. Now that I'm older and I've gone through enough therapy, trauma therapy, and we're going through everything I've been through in my life, You know, including getting thrown in a facility that I had no idea where the hell I was being thrown at. This is not a joke, it's the truth. And realizing now I'm older, what the hell kind of place this was, and had to have a psychiatrist get me the hell out of this place. I was thrown in against my will, and I had no place to be. You want to talk about some damn trauma? You know, I blocked that out of my mind. We literally, together, therapists researched the place and we found it. It got sold. But we found pictures of it. It was so traumatic for me as a young teenager that I blocked it out. The only thing that kept me going was my boyfriend at the time. I was protecting him. And in turn, I ended up getting in trouble, begging and pleading with people, two people. This has nothing to do with me. I get thrown in somewhere. And psychiatrists realized I didn't belong. I had no idea what the hell they were talking about in this place, because I didn't belong. A couple phone calls got me the hell out of there. But that screwed me up as a teenager. Truth. So help me God, truth. Those records surfaced with disability attorneys last week, the rest of the records, and it was on there. This weekend, I plan on reading it, everything. They were fortunate, they said they were able to get those records because the place got sold, but because it was connected in the system, they were able to retrieve and find it. As they said, it's pretty damning. And I'm sorry you had to go through this, and I don't know how much you remember of it. So I really don't remember much. Except my high school sweetheart, I was protecting him. I took the, once again, for a man, I took the rap for a man. In his situation, I don't regret it. His mom had ovarian cancer. She was really sick, and he was going through a lot emotionally and watching his mom. She was an angel. She was a sweetheart. She was a second mom to me. I literally left school to attend her funeral. I wasn't allowed to attend her funeral. I went anyway. And I have no regrets. I pat myself on the back as an adult now. Good for you standing your ground and your boundaries. And going to her funeral, I had every right to go. I was told I couldn't. I went anyway. I believe I got suspended for that. I really don't care. You know, I have no regrets going to that. To be able to pay my respects for a woman who literally treated me like a daughter every time I walked in. Since I knew her, you know, her place in the house was on her couch bed in her living room, and her amazing husband who treated me like a daughter, who was like a second dad to me. And every time I walked in, she always had a smile. She was the most gentle soul I've ever known in my life. It's the truth. And we'd sit down and she'd just talk. We'd talk about how are you doing, how's life, and we'd sit there for a while. And you know, my high school sweetheart come in and grab us, like, you know, a soda. She always, like, had her favorite soda. I'd grab, like, a tea or something, or another, you know, pop or something. And what we had, they were Italian. We always had cookies and stuff. They always had baked goods. The other kids would bring over her daughters, and we talk about life. I went to that funeral. I didn't care what you said. I couldn't go. I still went, and I have no regrets. Should have been allowed to go. I went anyway. I have no regrets. You know, don't have regrets. When you know something's right and you go with your heart, you're never going to go wrong. Sorry, you're not. No regrets at all for that. I took the rap for my high school sweetheart, and I got placed in a facility against my will without even me knowing. All I know is I'm going to this place and I'm writing something, or I'm I don't know what I was doing, and then everybody left. And I'm left. That's abandonment. Per attorney. That's gross abandonment. It wasn't okay. Working with a trauma therapist, because I have to process that, because I had it literally, my brain was protecting itself, and there's a lot of blackout of my life, blacking out of memory I don't have, and it literally, just by talking about the facility and someone saying it, it just was a trigger. And over the past 3 weeks, it's been slowly, we've been able to work with therapy of processing what happened, and file foldering, as they said, and talking about it is important. Making peace for you, Kim, not for people who do things that aren't okay, but you make peace for yourself. It's for you, for nobody else but you. You don't have to forgive people. when people do things that are really, really, really hurtful and do things that are not okay, there's nothing in the book, as I was told, that says you have to forgive. But you forgive yourself and you make peace for yourself and you do it for you, and that's your gift. And that's your entitlement, right? That's what I've been doing. But I know I went all over the place with this, but I literally protected my high school sweetheart. And I mean, I begged him, please listen, what was going on was as sure as protecting him. This is the truth, so help me God. The only way I got through that place of hell, and realizing now as an older adult that I did not know, I was being locked in a place with juveniles that were, instead of put in jail, or were in jail or incarcerated and were going through treatment and stuff, was in the same, let's just say, around me. I was in that group. I had no business. Psychiatrist at that facility got me the hell out of there. Made a call. Get her the hell out of here. It's not a joke. It's disturbing as hell. Not okay. Now, I got through a lot in my life. A lot of things could have been prevented, were unnecessary, and sure the hell should never happen. Now, do I have faith in people? Would you blame me to not? Sorry. My heart belongs to the animals, always has. You know, that's my passion, my heart. That's the truth, you know. But it's hard for me to trust people. I don't have faith. I don't have much faith in society or people, and I have every right, you know. It's not just one thing. It's just things I've went through in my life that aren't normal. And when they're not normal and they're pretty damn disturbing, that's trauma. Those are situations that they should go through, traumatic. It was never okay. I don't regret protecting my high school sweetheart then, but I took the brunt of it. And in the evenings, I would look out the window, and I remember I would be able to make calls on the phone every so often. This is the truth, help me God. It's not a joke, folks. For people to draw on the ground, continue to draw on the ground, because this happened to me. He would come up, and I would look out the window, and I'd see him get out of his car, and he'd be waving, and he would literally write, "I love you, Kimberly. I miss you," on this big white poster board, and he'd hold it up so I could see him. That's the positive for me that I want to remember out of a really hellish situation, putting a teenager somewhere they didn't belong and having a head of someone in a department get him the hell out, get me the hell out of there. It's not the past. For me today, it's the present, because I didn't remember all that, because I blocked it. My brain blocked it, and that's part of trauma. You know? But, going back on the guy at the popcorn, on the live and stuff, and I love to, you know, I'm going through a lot right now and having to take on full responsibility in that. And I'm on treatment drugs, and I started, we upped the dose today, which is doubling it. How did it hit me this morning? It hit me like a freight train. It is on paper film, my medicines now, so it dissolves, and it was like double the size of the last, so it was like, oh my gosh. And then I start another treatment. I go, it was like December 14th or 15th, they called this morning. So we can start another treatment, which will be either through a lotion or a patch. And it's a lot of chemical hormones and things that with ovarian tumors and that, they just suck the life out of what your body needs. We're having to do just slow replenishment of things now too. So we're having to go through this treatment drug, working with oncology and that. And then we start with the other specialists with this. And then I have things with Eric just abandoned, you know. He can abandon me. I'm just going to say I'm so used to abandonment that it's like, to me, drinking a glass of water. It doesn't faze me anymore. I become numb to being abandoned. I'm used to it, and I've accepted. I realize it's part of my life. Talked about that this morning with a therapist. It's literally part of your life, Kim. You're numb because you got used to it. And it's sad that you have to get used to something that nobody should get used to, being abandoned. But you've went through it so much throughout your life that you have learned how to maneuver through it. And that takes a hell of a person. And that's the damn truth. Because I am a hell of a person. Most people can't even handle being on their own. Whether alone, you're dealing with things and people just walk out of your life. They don't want to deal with your illness. They don't want to deal with this. They don't want to deal with that. You're not fun anymore. You don't have kids anymore. Oh, if you had kids, things would be different. No, having kids, you saying that, should not change the way that you have treated me. In fact, you should be more present. You decided not to. Sorry, truth. But guy singing 80s tunes and literally was like, oh my God, this hit him. It reminded me of me. He was so into the live and everybody was just laughing and stuff. And he's such a great singer that he's like, oh my God, the popcorn. He heard the microwave stop. Literally burnt the popcorn on live. And I was just laughing because I was just thinking so much something I would do. I've done it many times. How many times you do that and you're so overwhelmed with doing so many things at once and you forget the daggone popcorn. It's that the popcorn run, because everybody has a popcorn run where you're like, oh my God, and you can smell it and you're like, it's too late. You open it up and you think, what, well, smells burnt? He still ate it because he's like, I'm so hungry. This is horrible. I'll put another bag in. I'm going to go through the popcorn. It's not burnt. And it's funny because his analogy is like, it tastes like burnt toast, like the edges of burnt toast. I just thought it was funny. But everybody, you know, my way of getting through what I'm dealing with now a lot on my plate is in the evenings when I clean and stuff and you have pets, you know, they shed and that. And I'm sorry, I'm nervous energy, as my grandmother always say, all the girls and women in the family have nervous energy. They take that nervous energy, what they're going through, and they pour it into cleaning. I'm not going to ever change who I am about that. I'll always have a neat house. No matter if I had 100 pets, you'll be able to eat off the floor still. That's how I am. You name the cleaning supply, I probably used it by now. I could probably do way to make some money is do reviews on cleaning products, just start my own website on that, because Lord knows I've tried it all. That's the truth. Live near a body of water like I do, it's in the air. It just makes keeping your house clean 10 times harder. I realized from being in a big city to moving in a small area near a body of water, I don't care what body of water it is, that stuff gets in the air. You got bacteria, blah, 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 and, you know, algae and things get, you know, stuck outside your house. And the cleaning is, you got to get like the really tough cleaning supplies, and your whole cleaning strategy changes compared to when I lived in a city and not near water. I would never recommend anybody ever living near body water, ever. And if you do plan on it, it affects your health, it affects your lungs, it affects your, I mean, it affects everything in your environment, you know, and it's going to affect, you know, if you're a clean, neat freak like I am, it's going to affect your cleaning strategy and your routine. Yeah, it's changed. It's been like that. But Eric doing the stuff that he did, it's like, I saw it coming. Yeah, I got duped, you know? And somebody says they're going to change, and I don't care what kind of therapist you're seeing, you know? You can see a therapist all day long, but if you're not seeing a therapist for the reason to see a therapist, you're duping everybody, not just me. In my opinion, it's just bull, you know what. But, you know, nobody's going to be up, leave responsibilities, and if I had kids, you ain't going to do that either. Period. Because behind the scenes, I had enough. Screenshots here. I had enough. You know, rightfully so. How I handled it last two times didn't work. Third time's a charm. Figure out this time, handle it different. But going back to that woman in that country, 71 years old, had twins, and she went through IVF because she got tired of people not accepting her childless. I'll screenshot part of what she said right here. Isn't that a shame? Sorry. I have to touch up my roots. I don't have time to be sitting in a salon. But it's a shame that she had to go to that extreme. But when I read the whole backstory, don't judge people until you hear the backstory, the truth. Whether coming from their mouth or they're writing about it, everybody's entitled to share their journey. Anybody who thinks otherwise, dictatorship ended a long time ago with Hitler. And you're not Hitler, and if you're trying to be Hitler, well, you get asked too, just like he did. Leave those days of hell in the past. Don't go trying to hold somebody's pen. Period. Don't do that stuff. It's disturbing as hell. People do that. But reading that of why, I could relate. No? I could relate. I could say a whole lot of things, not stories, but fact, of how people had treated me throughout my life, being the one that didn't have kids, you know? It's not by choice, you know? And even if people decide not to have kids and they don't want kids, You shouldn't think less or judge people because of their decisions. Everybody's entitled to their decisions of what they want to do with their life when it comes to having children. And we shouldn't judge people otherwise or think less of them or, heaven forbid, treat them indifferently. I went through the IVF reproductive health saga, let's just say, because it felt like it was never a new story movie. I went through all that. You know, I had the surgery. You know, the fallopian tube that wasn't even developed. Not surprising. A lot of problems throughout my life with my health. Way before I was born, things were the way they were. Acquired autoimmune problems, lupus, had lupus gene. My intestines, my colon, flipped. Colon, not even in place. It's not even the proper placing a colon should be. It's literally flipped. Transverse, I don't know what you call it. I didn't know that until I went through oncology treatments, and the oncologist and that from NIH, Rare Cancer Institutes, and that I had my case. It was what? I thought it was 10, but I was told 12. That came in from various parts of the United States. To talk to me first, and then most of them were present during my treatments. I knew because it was like a group of people when I was taken back, part of my team. But I didn't know until they sat me down, literally all these multiple screens, you know, because oncology, cancer institutes and that, and oncology centers, they have multiple screens where they can pull up multiple scans and just look at things, you know, analyze it. And they literally showed me and said, now, this is a normal colon. This is a normal placement. This is the placement of your colon. I said, it doesn't even look right, because it's not. You were born with your colon flipped. You probably had problems with your GI tract all of your life. Yes, I have. And puzzle pieces started being put together. And it made sense. And I'm due better understanding what I'm dealing with. If you can educate me and I can understand and make sense of it, I can accept it, and I have. But I didn't find this out until 7 years ago. Didn't know. Records were there. I didn't know. Truth. I'll always deal, as I said, you'll always deal with problems with partial obstructions. You'll always deal with organs getting all bunched up and things happening. And then you put a big ovarian tumor right in the middle of this mess, and the rest is history, you know? But the lady who had kids because she felt like she didn't fit and belong, and the women who were childless all of a sudden had families and kids and started walking out of a life one by one, but the only way to fit in. You know? You're judging women like that, women to women? You're judging a little woman like that? It's a hell of a person, man. It's a hell of a cold-ass person, cold-ass heart. When you go just abandoning people and forgetting about them and making comments like, well, if you had kids, things would be different. That takes a hell of a person, too. That doesn't have a heart. There's no empathy, sympathy. There's nothing. Stay away from people like that. And you want to insult you. You know? Whether it's out of your control with your health. You know, I went through all that stuff. Had a chance, had 2 weeks, was it 2 weeks? Probably less than that. I have to get some medical records to look at exact timeline, but I was in a relation that was toxic as hell. I'm learning my choice of men was stupid, learned behavior. And I will say at the point where I'm at with my age now is that I am damn proud of myself to have made a very big decision, which was to not proceed with getting pregnant with this guy, because he was very abusive, very toxic, and not healthy for me to be around, let alone to have a child around him. It would have been bad, and I just couldn't do it. I didn't have a kid. I had 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it was a very short amount of time before the tube closed again, and that was it, you know? Things had happened after that, and my body just had no capacity to be able to bring a child to full term. Called spontaneous aborting, when your body just can't, you know, go through the process of developing a child on its own. It is what it is. And it took me a long time to make peace with it. It's not to say I still haven't gotten judged, ridiculed, and criticized for not having kids. But people act like that now. I don't stand back. If you want to judge me, then be ready to have my comment back to you. If you dish it, be prepared to get the dish back. Well, you got to teach people in life how to treat you. I've learned that, because I haven't applied that to my life. I taught people it's okay to treat me less of by accepting behavior, bad behavior, rudeness, not being supportive, not being emotionally available, abandoning, neglecting. I treated people, and actually I was telling people in more ways than one by accepting the behavior that it's okay to treat me that way. That's not okay, and I don't do that anymore. No. Say I got duped for last time. I got duped for last time. But it's a shame that lady had to do that. But getting back to the beginning of the podcast, I just haven't really felt like doing any lives, and I haven't really felt like podcasting. A mixture, you know, going through personal matters, which require me to take on full responsibility of everything, and shouldn't be that way, and working with parties to where they're getting it to stop, and pursuing ways and means that it will stop. Their comment is, for every action, there's consequences. But in the meantime, you know, unfortunately, Kim, you're taking on everything again, and you're doing it while you're going through treatment drugs. And that's not okay. It's never okay. It's not going to be okay. But, you know, it is what it is, you know? I'm sorry. I can't handle people whining and complaining. Especially what I'm going through right now, I'm tackling everything on myself. I'm the last person you want to whine and complain about petty stuff about your life. Because I'm going through hell right now, and I'm going through it straight on like a boulder. So telling me and feeling sorry for yourself and that, I'm sorry, but I'm the last person you want to do it to right now. Because I'm going through a lot, and I'm continuing to do it, and I'm exhausted. People who should lessen the plate and the burden refuse to do so, and they've always refused to do so. The analogy of rolling up your sleeves and helping, haven't. Well, you can't force people to help you who should be helping you. And sometimes you just gotta roll up your own sleeves, and no matter how hard it is, and it's freaking hard as hell, and you just gotta do it yourself, and it sucks. It's not easy, but I can't go feeling for people. I don't feel sorry for people when you don't have a valid reason for me to even, I mean, anything to be sorry for yourself about. That's all I gotta say, because there's people out there that got it really bad, and I have it like hell right now. But also to say, and the flip side, there's people who got it worse. You know, the holidays are bad too. People, you know, a lot of people go through a lot of things. People who are alone, on their own, have been abandoned, thrown out, neglected, no matter what the reason, your health, you don't have kids, blah 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 blah, going through the holidays alone. It's tough. I've been there. It's taken me years to be okay. And then, you know, when you think you know somebody and they dupe you and they abandon you so many damn times that you're used to it, you know, it gets easier. It's not just a saying, but when it comes to being on your own, I'm going to have to say for those who are, this holiday season, it's your first. It's going to be hell. Don't let people tell you otherwise. You're going to be lonely. It's going to be hell. You're going to be, you know, you're going to go through the emotional part, crying, upset. It's okay. Don't tell people. Don't have people tell you you shouldn't cry. You know, and don't have the people, the positive patties. Oh, everything will be okay, whatever. No, it's not. You have to go through the tough times, and then it gets okay. But you're allowed to not be okay. You're allowed to feel. You're allowed to get upset. And by golly, you're allowed to have emotions. Don't have people tell you otherwise. Stay away from people who try to robot you. Not okay. The truth, but it's going to be tough. You'll get through it, but you're going to go through a hell of a lot in the process. This is your first year. This is not my first year, and I celebrate the holidays the way that I'm going to this year. I don't know how I'm going to do it. My true friends
and my small circle all live one state, Texas. I'm really starting to believe, with talking to them over the last couple weeks, that I really think when that time to move and I jump, and these treatment drugs and what we're doing is to get me back on my feet to where I'm able to make big moves, you know, physically they'll do it, is I think that's my destination, because that's where my truest, closest support is, my friends, you know?